Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For anything in the outdoors, this is your source. Listen in and call the show with your comments or questions. And now, here's O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls. Yes, indeed. It's O'Neill Outside, number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world. And with us this morning is Woman Williams. Oh, my goodness. What a treat. Do you
good
feel
morning.
Like it's a treat?
I do.
All right. Matter of
yes.
fact.
Good to see you.
Yeah, and you bet. Well, we've got a lot of things to do this morning. The show's all reversed. We have a very, very special second hour of the program brought to you, presented to you, if you will, or themed. We're going to talk in the second hour about my good friend Tophiel Bourgeois in the second hour. So we've moved everything up front. You're listening to us, if you will, on 95.5 FM WSB and 750 on your AM dial over 38 states, and the Sports Broadcast Network from Seattle to L.A., throughout the Midwest, from Miami to Maine, on WEEI Super Sports Station, and we hope you'll join us this morning. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta calling area, it's 800-972-8255. We're talking fishing, hunting, and outdoors. And during the first hour of the program this morning, we'll have the radio prize package, the Medal of Honor tribute, and, of course, your calls as we lean into the second hour. And further on that, Tophiel Bourgeois, he's was the proprietor, owner of Cajun Vista Lodge in Barataria, Louisiana. And on Saturday a week ago, I guess it was the 17th, was it Sunday?
Sunday
the 18th, he crashed his plane, and Tophiel died. And so he was a very, very special person. And I know a lot of you guys went fishing there with Tophiel. And we're going to talk about him in the second hour. But until that time comes up, we'll be handling our normal duties here at O'Neill Outside, taking your calls and talking fishing and hunting and outdoors. And we hope that you'll join us. This is O'Neill this morning with Woman Williams, Karen and Brian Green, and the crew at WSB. And we'll be back after this.
It's up beneath the shade of a Georgia pine, and that's home, you know.
Facebook, too. Woman Williams is here to handle the live Facebook page at O'Neill Outside, should you want to leave questions or comments there, versus at WSB. And versus the telephone number, we've got a call right now. We'll get to him in a moment. But this is one of those times. Here it is. The middle to late August. Fishing is very unusual. A lot of recommendations about that, things to keep in mind, suggestions to be made. But it's time to start thinking about deer hunting. So we have a little segment here coming up that I want you to start thinking in that way, that the deer season is on the way. In Georgia, all across the South, in the Midwest, Alabama's deer season doesn't begin till November for some very special reasons, and we can talk about that if you like. But I would like to make a few simple suggestions this morning about hunting from the ground, hunting from out of a tree or a tower stand, things for you to do that you may not think of doing, that will help you with that, so that you can harvest a deer or have that choice of harvesting a whitetail from the ground. Number one, very unusual. I love these things when you get a surprise. Number one, take a stool. Take a stool to sit on. It can be a low stool, something that you can lean up against a tree, or that you can sit on the stool and lean up against the tree. Sit on a stool. It makes the visit, it makes the hours that you'll stay there much more pleasant. Just a little wooden stool, a little canvas stool, if you will. They make them special. Of course, if you're going to hunt from the ground, use a ground blind. But there's more to it than that. If you're going to put in a blind, put it in early, way early, according to whatever the recent scouting indicates where you should be. Remember, basics. You hunt from the high in the morning and low in the afternoon, because as the air warms, it climbs and the air will be coming up the ridge, up the from the ground up to you. So you'll likely less be scented in the afternoon. You hunt from low so that the scent or air currents drift down to you. Just little things like that. And may I make a point that quite often the things we discuss, you and I, here on the radio program, these are long-term things to keep in mind, not for just a given day. I know I had I mentioned last week about, if you hunt a blind, if you hunt a stand, and you hunt one day, and you didn't take the deer you wanted that day, then don't go back to that stand the next day. And I had a lot of people comment at O'NeillOutside.com and on my Facebook page and so on that said, that's great, good idea. One fellow said, hey, I disagree. I hunted the stand same day two times in a row, and I got the best buck of my life. Okay, good. But you have that option. Over time, leaving that blind vacant the next day would be the best thing to do. Ground blind, inside the blind, clean out all the leaves, the sticks, the debris, scratch it out so it's just dirt. So that when you sit down, when you move, and if it can be a swivel chair in the blind, all the better. But alleviate noise. When you put the blind up, put some sticks and limbs and leaves and things over it, around it, so that it best suits its environment. Stake down the blind. Make sure that when you're not there, and you have a windstorm or a storm, that it doesn't blow away. Simple little things. In the blind, wear dark clothing. Camo's fine. I'm in the blind, I'll just wear a blue shirt. No. Dress accordingly. Number three, close the blind as much as possible. Don't have big windows in the back of the blind so that the deer might see movement and shadow against the light. Make it a narrow slit. Unless it's archery, make a narrow slit around the blind so that you can see. Make it as dark as possible. That's the way you hunt from the ground with a blind. Now, how about stalking? Wow, can you do that? I've tried it. Never worked for me. Most of my hunting has been in the southeast in thick brush and a lot of trees, vegetation. I can't do that. I can't see that well to stalk. Out west over these fields where deer will bed down in the middle of a field, can you get that done? Absolutely you can, especially with a muley. If there's any one thing for you to keep in mind about that is, go as slowly as you possibly can, make yourself travel. 3 days and 3 steps and pause. 3 steps and pause. 3 steps and pause. Does the deer know you're there? Probably. But he may not see you as something dangerous, and he may think you're going to just walk by. It can work. Stay dry. If you're going to hunt from the ground, stay dry. If you're uncomfortable, it will abbreviate the hunt. If you're afraid of heights, it goes without saying, go slowly. Hunting from the ground can be productive. I have before, but I will tell you, admit to you, that over the last few years, well, more than just a few years, I've hunted out of tower stands. Why? Because most of the time, I have at least one cameraman with me. And if I'm hunting from the ground, by necessity, it's a big blind, and rather open, because there's a cameraman in the blind with me. If you're hunting alone, or with a child, a youngster, go slowly. And those are some pretty good tips. Now, where did I get those? Oh, I got those from the Realtree.com website. An outstanding website for you to access. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255, and we'll entertain your calls. We'll come back here in a moment. I'll take Don's call. This is O'Neill Outside, and we do this every Saturday morning, most mornings on Saturdays. It's the O'Neill Outside radio program. It's on WSB, and you can hear the show throughout the week on our podcast. Did you know this show was podcasted?
I had a sneaking idea.
Oh, okay. Woman Williams is visiting this morning. Great.
Oh, visiting?
Well, it's been a little while.
It has been. It's been a busy summer.
Okay. It's a busy summer.
Yes, it is. And I don't have that much to do anymore.
I wonder why that is.
Because you took all my jobs away from me.
I have to wash dishes. I have to cook. I have to vacuum. I have to wash
windows. That was not what I meant.
Oh. All right. We got to get out of here for a break. Don, the rest of you guys hold on. Bill up in Dallas. And we'll be back and take your calls. And then we'll have the radio prize package, I promise, in the next hour. Next. We've got a couple of calls we need to get to this morning before we start some of our special activity. Bill is calling from, let me bring him up there. Bill is calling from Dallas, Georgia on O'Neill Outside. I guess it's Dallas, Georgia. What do you think, Bill?
Yes, sir. That is Dallas, Georgia. You are correct.
Okay. Sometimes you never can tell. Might be Dallas, Texas. What's going on?
That's right. My question is, I have never bow hunted, and this year I was not intending to, but a friend of mine has loaned me a crossbow. Ooh. So I can get in the woods a little early this year.
Okay, good idea.
So like I said, I've never done it, and I'm going to be purchasing some new broadheads.
Uh-huh.
And my question is, what do you recommend? The fixed blades versus mechanical blades and weight.
Okay.
What I've read is, you could go up to, 150 grain.
Oh yeah.
But I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing here.
Okay. I'm going to qualify my answer to you, and it may be a surprising one, is that I am not an archer. So my opinions about this sort of thing, about the specifics and details about which you asked, I am not qualified to answer. But I do have a recommendation.
Okay. All right.
Take that bow and go and visit a local archery shop. And tell them ahead of time, I have the story you just told me. I was given a bow, and I'd like to stop by, and I'll buy my archery accessories from you. The guy's got to make money. a local shop, hands-owned local archery shop, will be much, much better for you. He'll be able to measure the draw. He'll let you practice there. He will be able to determine what arrow you shoot best. There's quite a bit to archery, more so than just saying, oh, I'll go to Amazon or I'll go to Bass Pro Shop and I'll buy my archery gear. Hey, listen, archery is a hands-on sport.
Right.
And there's several things that you'll get by going to a local archery store versus asking me. I mean, I don't mind you asking, but I'm not qualified to answer those questions. But both of my shoulders have been operated on from a long time ago. I can't pull back anything beyond about 70, and all of my primitive weapon seasons over the last 25 years have involved muzzle loaders. I'm not an archery hunter.
Right.
But you'll get those answers at a local archery shop. Do you know of one near you?
No, I don't know of one off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Some friends of mine, they go and they shoot at the Governor's Gun Club. And, I don't know if they sell archery stuff there. And, you know,
they do.
But I know they have an archery range. Okay.
Yes, they do. And there's several good places like that in the general area in which you're referring geographically. And so go to a good place like that. And because, hey, we're all different. And what you use with the same bow might be completely different from someone else about your same size.
All right.
So do that and you'll be much happier, because the thing that you need to hunt with more than anything else is preparation and confidence.
Yes, sir, I agree.
And if you have those two things in your pocket, you'll be successful.
Well, sir, I thank you very much.
You bet. Call anytime. All call right. More often. Love to hear from you.
All right.
You bet. Hey, here's our, before we get to anything else, here's our old buddy Don calling from
Ocean Isle, North Carolina.
Good morning, Don. How are you, sir? Are you catching any fish over there?
Well, every once in a while.
Yeah.
And good morning, Miss Gail. This is a treat to have you on this time of morning.
There you are. She doesn't have her headset on, so she didn't hear the fact that you greeted her. She's setting up her, good morning, she says. She's setting up her computer for the Facebook page.
All right.
So good morning.
Have some fond memories when she was on the show. The special one was about the joke about how, well, why is birds in formation longer on one side than the other?
Yeah, so, how you like that?
We got to laugh out of that at your expense.
Indeed.
Yeah, we're ready for fall fishing. The water's cooling down a little bit, and when it cools down, the kings get more aggressive, and that's always a lot of fun, and always a lot of good food on the table if you know how to fix it. You know,
so, you betcha, you bet. It needs to be eaten fresh, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And I got some grouper that we're coming to Oconee again this year.
Oh boy!
And we're gonna take those, and they'll go on the grill for.
Oh yeah, you notified me of that. I can't be there, but I'd love to, but I can't this time.
Yeah, well, we'd love to have you there, and you would be a great asset to all the people around there. So, O'Neill, I got a question about deer. I never did deer hunt when I was a kid because there wasn't any deer in Gainesville, Georgia.
Right.
But now we got a bunch around here, and I feed them corn and sort of observe their activity. But we had a couple of fawns and their mother, and all of a sudden, the mother disappeared. I don't know if a car got her or whatever. Mm-hmm. But how old does a fawn have to be before they can make it on their own?
Probably about 3 months.
Really?
Yeah, just as soon as they start losing their spots.
Okay.
Not very long. They're as long as they have a food supply and they can run, they maybe outrun a coyote, then they're good. It doesn't take long.
I know back, you was talking about kids squirrel hunting the other day. when I was a kid, I was 8 or 9 years old. I had my first J.C. Higgins single shot, and I'd hunt squirrel, and I'd go to the hardwood area, and I'd notice, you know, the squirrel would take a long time to come out, and then I noticed when one of them barked, they'd flick the tail. So I learned how to bark like a squirrel.
Oh, good for you.
And I'd bark, and that told me wherever squirrel was around was, you know, located. So, but like,
that's
like
good.
You said,
a lot, squirrel hunting is a fabulous way to stay in the woods and be productive.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and that, of course, that in those days, you know, all the squirrels and the rabbits, we cooked those at least a couple times a week. So that was not only was it a lot of fun, but it provided food for the family, you know.
You bet.
Enjoy your show, and you and Gail do a great job, and thank you. And I'm sorry about Bourgeois going. He and Jose Wyabe went the same way. So.
Yep, in a plane crash. Yeah, we're going to talk about him in the second hour of the program this morning a lot.
Yes, sir. I'm sure that's an enjoyable trip. It was an enjoyable trip to be with him on the water.
Wonderful. Thanks for calling, Don.
Love you, guys. Thank you much.
You bet.
Bye.
See you later, my good friend. There we go. All right, time for the radio prize package. The radio prize package, are you ready for this? You're not. You want me to do it? Okay, the radio prize package, the rules are, if you've ever won a radio prize package before, you cannot win this one. You've got one answer. They were not going to tell you the question again, and you have to be 18 years old. The radio prize package consists of a Bojangles gift card, a Swaggerty's, a free voucher for product, Whitetail Institute DVD about how to plant food plots, Angler Magazine, Realtree hat and window decal, Data Sport fishing game forecaster, two cans of Fisher's Choice, a Thunder Chicken from Captain Mark Noble, Thoroughgood boot hat, Arctic Ice freezer pack, two packs of Bug Bands, and a selection of True Turn tackle. And the question is, in the second hour of today's program, we're going to talk about Teofile Bourgeois. What is his full name? That is the question. Take it slowly. What is Teofile Bourgeois' full name? Okay. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Let's see, it's 34 and a half. We've got, let's talk first of all, and we can get it in. Andy's calling from Marietta, Georgia. Andy, good morning. You're on the radio.
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you,
hey,
sir?
Good.
Hey, I'm glad I didn't call for that prize pack, because
that's tough.
But I just wanted to call and say thanks for the prize pack that I received. I finally won one and got it in the mail 2 days ago.
Good.
And, I was ripping that box open like a five-year-old on Christmas Day. And, I got the crickets and the hats and the stickers. But I think somebody made a mistake. I was under the impression that there was supposed to be a bass boat and a tough shed down in that box somewhere, and I couldn't find it. So
We just forgot those that time.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, hey, give it to somebody.
I will.
They'll get along. But, hey, I just wanted to call and say thank you, brother, and have a good weekend, and I'm going to take them crickets up to the Lake Allatoona next week.
Yeah, and those bass and the shoreline creatures will bite those things, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we're looking forward to it.
You're going to catch some.
The Arctic ice pack, I've been using it during the daytime. Man, that thing is
absolutely.
Yeah.
You don't need to buy ice anymore.
No, sir. That thing is cool.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, O'Neill, have a good morning, man. We'll holler at you later.
You are mighty fine. See you later, pal. Have a good, safe weekend. We'll talk to Milton when we get back, and we'll let's see here. We'll talk to Milton, but then we'll have we're going to come back with a Medal of Honor tribute at 40 minutes after the hour. This is O'Neill. Milton will have to hold on a little bit. We're handling a lot of our second hour activities in the first hour of the program. Maybe Milton can hold on through that. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside, the Medal of Honor tribute when we return.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Lieutenant Colonel William Bauer, Medal of Honor winner. awardee. He's Marine Corps, November 1942, Guadalcanal. Volunteering to pilot a fighter plane in defense of our positions on Guadalcanal, Bauer participated in two air battles against enemy bombers and fighters, outnumbering our force more than 2-1. Boldly engaging the enemy and destroyed one Japanese bomber in the engagement on September the 28th and shot down four enemy fighter planes on October the 3rd, leaving a fifth smoking badly. After successfully leading 26 planes on an overwater ferry flight of more than 600 miles on 16th of October, Bauer, while circling to land, sighted a squadron of enemy planes attacking the USS McFarland. Undaunted by the formidable position and with valor beyond the call of duty, he engaged the entire squadron. And although alone and his fuel supply nearly exhausted, he fought his plane so brilliantly that four of the Japanese planes were destroyed before he was forced down from lack of fuel. His fighting spirit and distinctive ability as leader and airman exemplified his splendid record of combat achievement. William Bauer, Marine Corps pilot, Guadalcanal. He died in flight, 1942.
Another true hero.
Oh, boy. Yes, that is a hero. 42 after the hour. This is O'Neill with O'Neill outside. Let's see. We've got to, if I had a name there, we would give away our radio prize package. I'll bet I'll get to him in a minute. Yes, the radio prize package first. And the radio prize, I got him. Okay. The radio prize package question was to win, what is Teofil Bourgeois' full name? And there's a really smart guy. John is calling from Marietta. Let me bring him up there, fellas. I'm sorry. I'm so inept. There is John from Marietta is on the radio, and he has our answer. Good morning, John.
Good morning, O'Neill. Norris Craft Driver to Norris Craft Driver. We've been listening to you since you got on there the first time.
Oh, my goodness. Man, that's quite a while. We're telling our age, aren't we?
I hear that.
We're telling our age, that's for sure. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. What is Teofil Bourgeois' full name?
Jean-Teofil Antoine Bourgeois.
Yes, you got it with the proper accent. Yeah, it's and actually, it's. I believe it's, I couldn't quite tell if you pronounced it. It is Theophile Jean-Antoine Bourgeois.
Aye.
Yeah, Yeah, you bet. Theophiles is instead of Teofil. He was a prince, and we're devoting the second hour of the program to him today, and it worked out for you that you got a nice radio prize package.
I certainly appreciate it.
You bet. We'll get it to you in a few days, pal. Have a great weekend.
You do the same, and y'all be safe. Kill, good morning.
Good morning to you.
There you are.
Y'all wonderful. Y'all have a good one and a safe one.
You bet.
You.
That worked,
you too.
That worked out really good for John, didn't it, there this morning? All right, Harry, here's our buddy. He's been holding on quite a while. Here's our buddy, Milton Crabapple. Good morning, Milton.
O'Neill?
Yes, sir.
Milton Crabapple.
Yes, sir. How are we doing?
I'm doing good this morning. Got a little frog in my throat or something. I can't.
Oh, yeah?
Can't talk. I'm having to cough.
Oh.
Anyhow, I've been listening to you, and I had a couple of... By the way, I don't know if I told you about Dude. You know, he's been wanting to join the Crabapple Country Club.
Uh-huh, I see.
Thought he might want to start playing golf.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, anyhow, he joined the country club, and he lasted about 5 days, and they threw him out.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Well, they caught him peeing in the swimming pool.
He just couldn't help it, could he?
Yeah, the lifeguard yelled at him, and it scared him. He almost fell in.
Yes, sir.
They asked him to leave.
Poor
Anyhow, I reckon he'll have to find another place to join. But I was listening to you.
Yes, sir.
Talking about hunting deer on the ground. Now, you know, I had a couple of comments on that, O'Neill.
Okay, please.
You know, I've been hunting on the ground for about 35 years. I used to hunt out of trees and all, but one thing I like is simplicity. Now, I hunt on the ground on just a stool.
Okay.
That's all I use, and I wear one of them kind of a ghillie suit, if you know what that is.
I do indeed. Got a lot of camo around it. Yeah.
Well, especially your head, you know. That's what deer see is your head and your face, because you're moving your head around. But I'm telling you, I have squirrels and stuff walk right up to you and think they're going to climb up my britches leg.
And
I've had deer coming, you know, they'll walk within 5 or 6 feet of you.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they don't smell you, and sometimes they do, they don't know exactly where you're coming from. It's amazing how close you can get to animals when you're sitting on the ground like that, as long as they can't see your face.
Yes, that ghillie suit really does work, doesn't it? That's a great recommendation.
Does. And something else, too, that helps. Now, if you got a regular stand, one thing I like about it is you can just walk around, find a good place, and sit down. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to set up no blind or nothing. You can just walk around and say, I'm going to move over yonder. Because if the wind's blowing a certain way, well, you may want to go hit set on that side of the hill.
That's right, and you may want to change because the sun, if it's an afternoon, you may want the sun at your back.
That's true, but now something else that I believe is really important, O'Neill.
Okay.
Lots of folks nowadays don't like to walk. They like to drive them four-wheelers right up to where they hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to drive nothing no closer than 150 yards to the spot where you're going to hunt.
I agree.
You don't want to make no noise going down through there. But it's very important, I believe, I've always done it, is to, ahead of time, several weeks before the season, is to take a rake and rake out your trail all the way to your stand.
That's a great recommendation.
Rake it out all the way down to the dirt, move all the sticks, trim stuff off where you won't snag on nothing walking through the woods, because, you know, you may be... When you're going in the mornings to hunt, especially, that's right during the middle of the peak of feeding time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go hunt a food plot, well, there may be deer right there out on it while you're coming down to get in your stand. So you got to be quiet. I'm telling you, you got to be able to slip in there without making any noise and sit down.
That's
you can't
really
do it if you're walking through the leaves or crunching along on the rocks and stuff. I believe that's a very important thing, is to rake out your trail all the way down to your stand so when you can walk on it just on plain dirt.
Yes, that's a good idea. That's I have had, in visiting other places to hunt before a few years ago, they had done that, and I'm recalling it now. That's a really good idea.
You know, deer, he's kind of curious, well, different from a turkey. You know, turkey ain't curious. Deer sometimes will hear something and it look around and maybe see something and go back to what he's doing. Turkey don't do that. Them things are scared to death the minute they come out of the egg.
That's right.
You know, a deer sees a man in the woods and thinks he's a tree stump. A turkey sees a tree stump and thinks it's a man.
Well said.
Yes, sir.
Number
well, I gotta get out of here, O'Neill. I got stuff I gotta do. Stop by and play checkers if you get a chance.
I will do that too, my good friend. I'll see you soon.
Much obliged.
You bet. Great call. Great call from Milton this morning. What do you have? Do you have anything from Facebook, honey?
I just have for the gentleman that called about the bow hunting.
Uh huh.
There, someone gave a recommendation. Let me find it. Outdoor Depot in Gainesville.
Okay.
And ask for Pat or Ryan.
Okay.
They are great bowsmiths. So,
okay.
I hope he's still listening.
Outdoor Depot?
Outdoor Depot. I've not heard of that.
I'm not familiar with it. In Gainesville?
It says Gainesville.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pat, good. I'm glad they called.
Pat or Ryan.
You need to do that locally. Fashion your hunting, archery hunting, with a local guy. It turns out much better.
I just got a text from our friends Gary and Susan McCormick. They're on the way to the airport. They're going to Alaska to go salmon fishing.
Oh, man, McCormick, he never misses an opportunity.
Yeah, but they're going now instead of with us.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well,
they can go both times.
Yeah, they'll just go both times.
Go both times.
50 minutes after the hour, you're listening to O'Neill Outside, 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255 at 95.5 AWSB and on 95.5 on your FM dial, 750 on your AM dial, and throughout the country on the SB, the Sports Broadcast Nation, WEEI in the Northeast and all across the country. So there you are. I say, if you don't have anything, I think I've got time for this one. Let's go. Let's talk to Wade. I think he's coming up. Good morning, Wade. You're on the O'Neill Outside Show. Welcome.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing this morning?
Good. Great.
I just hit her on email. My buddy Jonathan Spittler has moved up to Alaska.
Oh.
And he bought a boat, and he goes out there and he collects the salmon from people catching the commercial fisheries. And haul the salmon back to the market.
Oh, how about that? What a job.
He's got a, he's a little younger than I am. Good friends with, he's David's son's best friend. Mm-hmm. Looks just like Kelso on the Stanley Show if you got a good picture of him.
Oh, okay.
But he went up there to live a dream. He drives out there in a boat and loads up with all these fish and hauls them back right there in Ringgold, Alaska.
How about that? What an adventure.
I just hit Woman Williams up on Facebook, told her to check him out, give her his web address.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Got
good.
Some good pictures, though. I mean, really good pictures. I mean, it's pretty up there.
Oh, man.
But he goes out with all this ice and these totes, and he gets the salmon and he takes them back and to the market. I guess he's the middleman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Well, that's... perfect capitalism, providing a service and making money out of it.
And living a dream.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely.
It's so pretty up there. I mean, he was showing pictures of it's Ringgold, R-I-N-G, like Ringgold, North Georgia, up there by Dalton. And he goes out there and picks them up and takes them back. But he has some beautiful pictures.
How about that? Well, give me
I remember when he first started deer hunting. I ain't never killed no deer. Well, come on over here at the farm, kill one over at Walt's.
Yeah,
I put him down there on that second stand, right below the about the third terrace. Mm-hmm. Look, they're gonna walk out there in that bottom down there, and they're gonna eat. And don't shoot the first one. Wait, there's more than one out there. Dad made me kill two the first time he ever shot one.
There you go. How about that? Well, I gotta go, Wade. Thanks for calling, sir, and for listening to the program and participating. I really do appreciate it.
Well, I'll get back with you. I found out a little bit more about these Roosevelt elk up here in Kentucky.
Oh, I got to go, and I want to know about that. Call next week, will you?
I promise.
You bet. All right, this is O'Neill Outside, 53 after the hour, and we'll be back. Someone I used to know would stay. Welcome back, everyone. 57 after the hour. We've got a special hour planned coming up. First hour's almost done. And what a celebration it is talk to Donna, calling from Hall County. Good morning, Donna. You're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm the woman that hates coyotes that calls
in. Yes, I understand. I remember.
I gave my first gift box to my cousin, who has little boys, and they loved fishing at St. Simon's with that.
Good.
And so I gave the second gift box to the daughter of people. I was at the source of all great truths yesterday, a hair salon.
Okay.
And remember? And I gave this to a girl, a daughter of people there. Uh-huh. And last year she had loved fishing. She was not a teenager. She is now a teenager.
Oh, I see.
And she was loved the hats, but she said girls don't fish. And I was so shocked. I hardly knew what to say. And she said to me, "Do you know any ladies that fish?" And I said, "My goodness, no, but I know who to call to throw out the challenge." I am challenging you and all your listeners. What do you do with a little girl that preteen thinks it's fun and exciting to go fishing, ocean fishing, and then now that she's 13, it's not what girls do? And I couldn't tell her. I know no ladies that fish at all.
I see.
And I just thought I would throw that out as a challenge. What do we do? I had no solution, but, and it was the universal discussion at the hair salon yesterday, okay, that it is a challenge.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I would tell her to make friends with a guy who's wearing a fishing cap.
She says they're not her age. I said,
well,
you have
no,
all
they're
these
not.
Cute hats. Can you share them?
And well, the only thing I would say beyond the cap would be that the cap be turned forward.
She tried that. I said, did you turn it around? She said, Miss Donna, the girls don't fish. And I said, this can't be a declarative sentence. There
Donna,
has to be a solution.
I'm sorry, baby. I've got to go. I'm up against a hard break.
Think about it.
We will do that. We will do that, too. This is O'Neill. Another hour of outdoors headed your way.
News.
Weather.
Traffic. 95.5 WSB. Atlanta's news and talk.
Good morning. It's 5 a.m.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.